Well, hello and welcome everyone to the Cuck My Life podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. This is the podcast where we talk everything cuckold, real stories, real guests, and real cucks. I'm Hubs to Hot Wife, and today I'm joined by my good friends and fellow cucks, Poor Little White Boy, also known as Poe, Aussie, and Hopeful. And today we're going to get into a subject that we get asked about a lot, and that is men who are interested in how to get their wives into cuckolding. It's going to be an interesting conversation, and I think you'll enjoy it. We hope you stick around.
As I was maturing, I realized that, you know, kind of the jam, the real fantasy that I enjoyed was these cuckolding related fantasy.
You have to be able to communicate with your partner, even if it's hard. There's no easy way to ask your partner to sleep with other men.
Am I losing her? Am I, what have I done? Why would I do this? But then also being incredibly turned on by it.
But when I turned it around that in that fashion and let her know that this was something, that first time for her literally could not have been any better. It was magical.
Asking the question is like the last step. You've actually got to do so much more groundwork before that.
When she took charge, it was like my spine was on fire.
I think you gentlemen would agree with me. As somebody who is publicly on Twitter, I get asked questions all the time, and probably the most commonly asked question that I get asked from men is, how do I get my wife into this? Would you agree with that?
I think it is absolutely positively one of the most frequent questions. I think that this is a huge fantasy for a significant amount of people. If you listen to Dr. David Lay, for example, he says it's over 50% of men think about this. Now, I don't think it's 50% of men who want to do it. And I certainly don't think it's 50% of men who can do it. But I definitely think that there are a lot of men who want to at least consider it. And it's a complicated thing to bring up with your partner. And that is something I think we can definitely have an interesting conversation about. And I think people will appreciate it.
Excellent. Yep, I totally agree with that. And since we've got that ball rolling, and since you're on stage here, Hopeful, why don't you introduce yourself? Since it is such a popular fantasy among men, when did you first realize this was something that you wanted in your relationship or hoped for someday? So, Hopeful, why don't you introduce yourself briefly and then tackle that first question?
I am the Hopeful Cuck, and my Twitter handle is at new_hopeful. I used to be at the Hopeful Cuck, but my partner decided that we were getting a little too big and wanted to have a lower profile, which is why I'm on a podcast. The thing that happened for me, and it was pretty, first of all, I'd always thought about it. This was the porn that I always went to. I loved it. I loved the idea of it. I was way too jealous, I thought, to be part of it. But we were, when Tatiana is my partner, she is my dominant. When we first got together, we had vanilla sex. We had, I was trying to be a little bit dominant with her. She likes a spanking. She's a very interesting human. But it was very clear when we had sex that my penis did not fit in her. Like, where if she tried to get on top of me, for example, I was terrified that her pubic bone was going to give me an acute angulation, which is, if you don't know, a broken dick. I was terrified. I'm just not big enough to satisfy her. And that was clear from our play. But like most men, I was like, what are you going to do? This is what I got. One night in an attempt to spice it up, because we were struggling sexually, really struggling, she bought a little game or some dice or whatever. And however it worked, she was going to be in charge for that particular sex session. And when she took charge, it was like my spine was on fire. It was like my spine was on fire. I can't explain it any other way. Like tingles up and down my entire body. And it was overwhelming. Now I wasn't able to process it appropriately. And a couple of days later, when we went to play again, I said, I'd really like to play the dominant submissive game again. And she said, okay, well, I guess you want to be on top. And I was crushed. Because I wanted her to be in charge, but I didn't know how to ask her. That led me to some deep soul searching. And finally realizing that we were just not clicking sexually. We just couldn't figure it out. I came home and I said to her, we have to have a real serious conversation about our sex if we're going to stay together. I didn't spit it out then. It took me days. We talked for over the course of a couple of weeks, and just trying to get the word cuckold out of my mouth, I think one of the most difficult things that I have ever done, because I was scared to death that she was going to judge me. Does that sound familiar to either of you?
Facts. Oh, yeah. So much the facts. Yeah.
Most definitely. I think that's very common. And a lot of gentlemen who, in our shoes, who've been down this road, have experienced some of those reactions. So what was the reaction?
So she's very deliberative. She thinks things through. She processes things slowly, and she always says what she means. And when we talked about it some more, she asked questions like, what do you want? And I explained to her my feelings, it would be pleasurable for me if she slept with other men and I got to watch. I told her that I was bisexual, which was, I'm not out to everybody in my life, but I'm out to a few people, and she's one of them. And you guys, and now everybody who's listening to this, if they're listening, we began a process of conversation. And then one day she sent me an email, and she said in the email, I'm on Twitter as Mistress TFLR. Why don't you join me? And it took off from there. Then we began our Twitter relationship, which is so incredibly important to me. And through banter and conversation, next thing you know, there's a guy sniffing around. He was a local guy, bull type. And within, I don't know, 3 or 4 months of us talking about this, we were meeting this man. And this was high COVID, by the way. It was 2020. We met him at a local bar that has a hotel nearby. And I don't know if you guys remember, during COVID, hotels were fucking free. You could get a hotel room for $70.
A nice one. Yeah.
You could just throw change in the kitty and they'd be like, here, here's two rooms. And so this little bar is right next door to this hotel. And we met this guy, and an hour into it, she said, I'm going to go next door. Why don't you bring him over in about a half hour? And I said, yes, ma'am. We did that. It was not a great experience. He was a disappointing individual on a lot of levels. But for me, it was revelatory. She was so in control that night. Like, my life's never been the same since that night. I have now, this is who I am, and I'm 100% sure of it. And I'm so much more comfortable in my skin. And I'm just incredibly lucky that she has responded to me the way she has. I'm grateful for it every day.
Yeah, that is a great story, man. Thank you for sharing all that. Fantastic. Well, why don't we kick it over to our other friend, gentleman that we is known abroad as Poor Little White Boy. We like to call him Poe. But Poe, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about when you first realized this was something that you wanted.
So, yeah, I'm the Poor Little White Boy. So this was one of those things. I think my sexual journey has been long and many, you know, down many paths. But eventually, I don't know, sometime as I was maturing, I realized that, you know, kind of the jam, the real fantasy that I enjoyed was these cuckolding related fantasies. And I actually like kind of went, you know, back and forth with some other stuff. And I was like, you know, this is really, I think this is the thing. And I say it's like this. It's like, imagine if there's a Ferrari in your garage, but you're Mr. Magoo. And you can maybe get the Ferrari driving around the block or something, but you're not going to be able to get it up and really do what it's made to do. And I was pretty sure that Mrs. Dulce was a Ferrari, and she needed some Lewis Hamilton types to be driving that Ferrari. So
if that's a car racing reference, I don't get it, but I do appreciate it.
Okay. It's a car racing
reference. I get it. I don't know who that guy is, but I understand what you're saying. And yeah, I got you.
But yes. So basically, you know, we got married young. We've been with each other for forever. We're not exactly the people that have a ton of past sexual experience and stuff. And I'm like, how are we going to go from what we have? How am I going to talk about this? So my first thought, and this is kind of my, this is my trial balloon, is if we're in bed doing stuff together and we'll kind of kick some fantasies around, right? Because, and again, this is me being shy, maybe if I throw something out, if she's like, ew, or, you know, if it kills the mood, obviously let's not go back to that. But this is one I'd brought up and discussed, and, you know, we'd be in the delicto fugante, if you will, and, you know, mention it, and she would seem to respond as interested. So then I was like, okay, so maybe we can take this talk out of the bedroom, you know, do the, so the other night when we were having fun together, you talked, you know, I talked about this, And so, yeah, I brought it up, and we had a lot of conversations over time, and eventually it came to the point where I was like, you know, I need to, like, tell her this is something that I'm serious about. And so we got into it a little bit, you know, and I told her, hey, this is my interest. And by this time, a lot of helpful podcasts had showed up that you could kind of listen to people that were actually enjoying this. And the other thing that I realized is from those, real people do this, like not just people in pornos in Hollywood and actresses that are getting paid to pretend like they enjoy it. This is
real people. Fans, ladies, God bless them, but it's just them.
Yeah. And so we talked, shared some podcasts, and then, you know, she said, I might be interested. And so we kind of set up this thing where I got a separate phone number, and we started texting, sort of doing a role play as if I was this bull that was interested in her and so forth. And just to kind of let her get a feel for it. And then we set up like a meet at a coffee shop and pretended like I had, you know, kind of been the guy. And then we met up, and then we did a little bit of pretending. We did a little bit of just talking about it. And at the end of it, we said, you know what, let's give it a try. And so we did some online profiles, met some people, started chatting, took our time with it. And one thing led to another. And by probably 4 or 5 months from then, she was in the back seat with this guy she'd just met with her mouth around his dick. And that's all she wrote.
That's like falling off a log, right, Poe?
Like falling off a log, yes.
Or in her case, maybe getting on the log. Maybe so.
100%. She jumped on that log.
That's right. That's right.
And well, you know, that's a great story, Poe, because when your partner is just willing to explore with you like that, that is that's a peaceful, easy feeling, to quote Glenn Frey.
Yeah, I mean, And there's something to just kind of being like Hopeful was saying about being that sort of at your core of your being. And you just feel right. Everything's kind of clicking and buzzing. And honestly, when I'm in that cook chair.
It's remarkable, isn't it? I mean, when you discover your true self and are able to express that, I mean, that's pretty awesome. And we're all very fortunate in that regard. Mm-hmm. If you're just joining us, or if you're fast forwarding through the podcast to find the interesting parts, just as a reminder, we are talking about how we got our wives and how, in theory, do you get your wife into this? That's the most often question we seem to be asked. And we're joined by our friend, the Aussie Cuck. And Aussie, we'd love to get a little bit of a response to that question from you. This is a fantasy that's common to men. It's obviously something we've all wanted to pursue, and we have. But it's not always easy to introduce this topic and to bring it up to your significant other in such a way that they receive it well. Along those lines, tell us a little bit about when you first realized it was something you wanted, and how did you approach her about it?
Thanks, Hubs. And thanks, everyone. And it's awesome to be here. Yeah, so look, our story sort of started when kind of a little bit before I even knew what the word meant, and even what the lifestyle was. And I think as probably a lot of the way that these relationships start is that it's generally the man. And it is also, I think, a bit of a selfish act, a bit of a, this is interesting to me. This is a fantasy that I have. And that's when, you know, that's when they take it to their wife. That doesn't necessarily mean they don't want their wife to have a great time and that everything that she desires will get met as well. But I think it starts from a place of the man deciding that he feels this way and wants to explore it with his wife. So it started where well before and years ago, where we were toying around with the idea a little bit about meeting someone else or having a third person. And we also talked a little bit about maybe if that person wanted to see her, or if we were going to look for couples, or if I was going to look for single women, or anything along those lines. And as you would expect, when we made profiles, as you can imagine, my beautiful wife Eve, she got a lot of attention from men. And the profile that I made, you know, I got a very small amount of attention from women. And we ended up, look,
she's a beautiful woman.
She is. And look, the thing is, I think this is the other part that guys maybe need to think about is that, you know, it is a lot easier for a woman to find, to if they project themselves as that they're looking for a no strings attached, promiscuous type of sexual relationship, there is going to be a lot of wolves circling that wagon, right? Like there's a lot of men that'll be like, yep, that sounds like something I would be interested in. So that's just the way of things, right? It's nothing to do whether it's men or women. I just think that is just the way of things.
Let me just interrupt for a second, because I think that's an important thing. Those open relationships, men are very willing to sleep with married women, and women struggle to meet men in general. As Dan Savage says, men tend to be testosterone-soaked dick monsters. Women are in danger from physical violence and all sorts of things that we as men don't have to think about. So it is much easier for women to find men than it is for men to find women, because women are afraid of men, as they should be.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Long story short on that part was she ended up hooking up with someone and I actually wasn't there. I wasn't in the state and I was a bit not so sure about it. She sort of hooked up with this guy and look, it really upset me and things just sort of went off the rails a bit. But it also kind of it sort of flipped the lid. It flipped the Pandora's, you know, lid. And you know, whilst I was, I had huge emotions of am I losing her? Am I, what have I done? Why would I do this? But then also being incredibly turned on by it in a very strange way. You know, I was like, why I'm feeling very strange about this, but it is also turning me on. But at that point I was like, nah, that was just too much. It was too much to sort of deal with. And she agreed that it was just too much to deal with. It wasn't the right thing to do. So we didn't go back. So later, and I'm talking about 8 or 9 years later, you know, we'd sort of had kids and we were traveling through on this desert trip, and in the desert, staying in tents. My parents were like, you know, 10 feet away or I don't know, 5 meters. and there was no sex. Like we weren't having sex there. There was really no way unless we went off and, you know, went between the sand dunes. Right. So there was none of that. Plus there was also, you know, I wasn't sort of masturbating at all. So, and I got through this 2 week period and I got to the other side. And I reckon that was probably the first time in my adult life that I had gone 2 weeks without actually coming. And I felt this upwelling of just dedication to her and just going, I'm so incredibly attracted to you right now. But I also had a revelation that I couldn't actually pleasure her sexually in a way that I thought was fulfilling enough for her and me. And I really think that our sexual chemistry is not made for each other. It wasn't a bad thing. I loved her to death. She loves me to death. But I felt that she could experience more, and she should, because before we got together, she'd only had one boyfriend ever. So that was it. So I was like, there's so much more to explore, and maybe we should look at this. And I jumped onto found a blog, found then a podcast, and you know, told her about it, started a profile. The rest is kind of history. She was she pretty much just strolled down to the deep end of the pool, went up to the top platform and went, yep, I'm in. And she just dove in.
Brother, you know, so. She's like, and look, to fuck other guys while she was in bed. Like, she's amazing.
So look, it was obvious, right? So, and I think what is special about this, and I think someone may criticize and say, well, you're obviously not right for one another, but I don't think I disagree with that, because we were able to, like adults, analyze where there were gaps in our relationship, realize that for all of the other parts, we were desperately in love with one another and we were each other's soulmates. But just because there was an area missing doesn't mean that she doesn't get to experience it. And I don't get to actually fully come out of my shell and the kinks and things that I have as well. So, and that's where we are. That's today.
Aussie, that is so incredibly important. And I love exactly, because I said the exact same thing differently, but the exact same thing. You have to be able to communicate with your partner, even if it's hard, right? And that first conversation is brutal. It is incredibly difficult. There's no easy way to ask your partner to sleep with other men or to tell your partner that you want her to make fun of your small penis. That is a complicated conversation for all of us, especially if we're ingrained. I was late 40s, man. Like, I had spent most of my life being like, no, it's fine. It's big enough, right? But to have that conversation, to be able to talk to your partner about your needs, whatever they are, even if it's, I need to borrow $5. If you can't talk to your partner about life, you can't talk to them about this. You have to have good communication, period, about everything.
That's right. That's right. Guys, I think we want to acknowledge, and these are not circumstances that maybe necessarily the four of us have experienced. Maybe we have. But in, you know, fairness to the guys who are out there wanting to know, how can I get my wife to even consider something like this? We need to acknowledge that there's a a range of responses that might occur when you bring this up to your wife. And maybe we can chat about that just briefly. A lot of times women will respond by with suspicion. I mean, you know, we must be up to something. This is, you know, we're surreptitiously trying to figure out a way to where we can get pussy elsewhere.
It's a trap.
It's a trap. That's right. It's a trap. Or they may respond by questioning our affection for them. Maybe she feels that, well, I must not be enough for him.
That is a common theme. A whole bunch of us have been told that by our partners. My part, Tatiana, her initial reaction was, you want to sleep with other women. I'm like, I do. But
there you go.
Like, that's not what I'm talking about here. Like, I want us to figure out what works, and I'm telling you who I am.
Yeah.
And that is the pushback. And what you have to do, I think, Hubs, and I don't mean to step on your words, but you have to be 100% honest. And then you have to back it up, not just with your words, but with your actions. And I think we all struggle with that occasionally, especially initially.
Right. Using that as a springboard, our experience was we've been married a very long time. And we had a brief foray into non-monogamy in our 20s after we'd only been married a brief time. And it was, to say the least, unsuccessful. I think you might characterize it as kind of putting the cart before the horse or doing it ass backwards. Either one would fit. But, you know, whereas in the lifestyle, a lot of us have made friends after being in the lifestyle. We tried to get into the lifestyle with people who were already our vanilla friends. And we fucked it up royally. We lost friends. My wife was so traumatized that she never wanted to talk about anything of the sort ever again. And that literally lasted for decades. When I approached her, and by the way, I did approach her a few more times, gingerly and with great trepidation over the span of decades, I would bring this subject up because it was something that was, you know, so ingrained in me and that I resonated so deeply with. But I would always characterize it as something that would be good for her. And I'm not saying that our wives have not necessarily found or other wives have found that it is in fact good for them. It's something they enjoy. God knows, hopefully, that's what it has happened for most of us. But that was my argument. That was my use case. That was the best I could do was, you just don't know, babe. You know, you haven't ever experienced it. This is going to be good for you. And I did that for years. And the thing that turned the tide, and by the way, this is only going back about 5 years now. We've been actively in the lifestyle. I decided I was going to bring it up one more time. And if after that time she said no again, I was not going to bother her again for the rest of our lives. I mean, we're madly in love with each other. We have been. She is my person. And I would have never wanted to fuck that up. And I was desperately afraid that if I pushed too hard, I would. But what changed for me, and I think she will agree with this, is that I stopped on this last attempt talking to her about the fact that I thought it would be good for her. And instead, as you said, Hopeful, I was brutally honest. And I said for the very first time, I think, this is something, if you would consent to try it, this is something that I deeply yearn for, and I have for years, and probably no secret to you, but if you could see your way to try it one time, and I will be satisfied with whatever you decide after that, but I would love you for it, I will love you anyway, even if you don't. And if you don't want to, I'll never bring it up again. But when I turned it around that in that fashion and let her know that this was something that I deeply yearned for, she said, and she would tell you today, I did it to shut him up. I promised you that's what she would say. But long story short, we made, you know, we did the profile online, we found someone, and that first time for her literally could not have been any better. It was magical. Guys, you know, she had not had, because of my erectile dysfunction, she had not had penetrative sex in 12 years. They fucked for 4 hours straight. And she was,
yeah,
she was gleeful. I mean, she was, you know, I could tell you stories about that night. Maybe sometime I'll describe that evening, but 4 hours, I'm not making that up. And literally, guys, she was giddy on the way home. And, you know, so just that little tweak in my approach to her, and it was not a little tweak. I mean, I was actually doing what I should have been doing all along, which was being honest. So to your point, hopeful man, is that essential?
You have to lay it on the line, and it's scary to do it. Too many guys, I think, wish for this, hope for this, or bring it up in a weird way, or like, hey, watch this porn with me, or they just, you have to be, if you want to be in this lifestyle, number one, the most important thing, and I think everybody in this room will agree with me, you have to be communicative. You have to communicate with your partner, and you have to trust them, and they have to trust you. This relationship style tests honesty, trust, and communication every fucking day.
Absolutely. And I will add to that that you have to be rock solid in your relationship before you ever attempt to go here. That's fundamental. And anybody that thinks that this is going to solve their problems is you're going to be very disappointed, and it's going to be a rude awakening for you. You got to get into this with a very solid relationship.
Look, that's what I would say too, really, is I get lots of guys approach me. You know, you got lots of DMs, lots of people sort of asking the question about how do I get my wife to do this. I would probably spend the first, I don't know, 20 messages with these guys asking about them. Nothing to do with their wives, nothing to do with what it is that they think that they want. It's actually about the motivation, about why do you want to do this? And what is it? And I reckon probably 9 times out of 10, when I ask the question, what does your wife fantasize about? What's her fantasies? They would go, I don't know. So a lot of the time, it's, I know guys would see the porn, that they would, you know, think that it's really hot and think about what the sort of things that they want. I think asking the question about doing this is like the last step. You've actually got to do so much more groundwork before that to actually know whether or not that question is actually going to land. Because it's like building your case before you actually, you know, lay it down. Because if you don't, I reckon 90 times out of 100, it's just going to bounce right off, and she's going to think all of those things we said before. And you've got to really know that it's something that you really want. And I also don't think that the guys, you know, guys have a tendency to think very much with their penises and think about the fantasy, and it really gets them hot and it really gets them heavy. And I'm like, well, so if you ask her this question and she gets into it, are you prepared to lose her? And then we're like, what do you mean? No, why would that happen? I'm like, well, you've got to understand the loss, and that there is, like, what if she falls in love with the guy? Is that okay? Oh, well, no, I wouldn't want that. Okay, well, what if she wants that? Are you prepared to give her what she wants? Because it is about what she wants. And it is about what you want as well. there's a compromise, and there's always going to be that compromise. And you may find that there's things that she wants that you don't want, and there's things that you want her to do that she won't do.
I also am a believer, you can ask her to do this, but you can't tell her how. You can't.
Right. Like, I really like
she's that. Not a toy. She's not your possession to decide you're going to do this and you're going to do that and this is for me. No. If you're asking her to do this for you, you have to let her do it her way, or it'll never work.
And I think that it's important to kind of be collaborative with your partner when you're talking about this stuff, instead of being like, here is my thing, here's the way it works, here's what you do, here's what I do, blah, 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 blah. Say, you know, here's some things that turn me on. What do you, you know, what are, how would that work for you? You know, what, and it's okay if something that turns you on super a bunch is not something that they're really into, and you kind of, you know, okay, well, let's not do that. What about something else?
Yeah, that's great.
Well, this has been great, and I would really love to thank everyone for joining us today. If you have any comments on today's episode or any other episode, please reach out to us on Twitter or via email. Details are in the show notes. And so for today, from the whole panel here at Cuck My Life, take care, and we'll see you next time.